I don't know how to use it. Good afternoon. It's the audience is growing, although I think as it gets colder, people might change their minds. Hopefully we'll be engaging enough. I'm Elena Green. I'm the project manager for the Long Beach Alliance for Children with Asthma. We're known as LABACA, and you'll actually notice some of the same photos as you may have seen in some of Andrea's pictures as likely will show up in other people's, which really demonstrates the collaborative nature by which we work. But I'm just going to talk a little bit about our coalition and the work we've been doing and give a local case study which really highlights a lot of what Andrea's nicely set up. So briefly, the Long Beach Alliance for Children with Asthma, or LABACA, we were started in 1999 to respond to the high rates of asthma that there are in our community. And we were started as a collaborative between the Long Beach Health Department, the school district, local hospitals and clinics, and we have had a really strong community participation from the very, very beginning in that community members were sitting on our board and helping in the planning of our project. And we were one of the seven sites in the country that were one of the Allies Against Asthma projects with the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And we're currently supported by a broad mix of funding. And we do have very comprehensive programming. We've responded to the high rates of asthma by doing a number of different things, from direct services to trying to do system changes. But I'm just going to be mostly focusing my comments today around the policy work that we've been doing. So this is the city of Long Beach looking down, and you can see there. See if I can figure out how to work this. Is it the red dot?
No, the one that points to the right.
Oh.
Point at the computer.
No, I was going to use the light. Anyway.
Sorry, the laser is the red dot.
Thank you. So there, basically all along the coastline here, behind downtown, you can kind of see a crane there, is where the Port of Long Beach and Los Angeles sort of are. They actually are as if they are one port, obviously, pollution. Pollution doesn't necessarily stay within the boundaries of either the ports either. So you can obviously see we have a pollution problem, which we know contributes to high rates of asthma that we see in our kids. And I think what's really interesting about the city of Long Beach is that we are increasingly a very diverse community and genuinely diverse in terms of having all racial and ethnic groups well represented, which creates a real richness in the community but also creates many challenges when you're trying to do community programming in terms of cultural sensitivity and language barriers and isolation as a result of that. So when I mentioned our target communities do have higher, disproportionately higher rates of asthma, we actually recently, about 18 months ago, expanded our programming beyond the city of Long Beach because we started seeing more and more kids living in communities adjacent to these ports that needed services, and so we've been lucky enough to be able to expand our programming. And this was our strategic plan that was developed by our beginning board with many community members present. And as you can see, we see the children with asthma are really the heart of our programming and their families. And we do have different programs that address physician care and clinical care, working with schools and after-school programs. But again, I'm just focusing on the policy formation and the environment. So Andrea's gone into a little bit of this. It's, these are all the ports in California, and specifically the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles are the fifth largest ports in the world. But I think what's really interesting, and I think what's really created now this high level of attention to the problem is what we're seeing is this increase of trade that's coming really from our addiction to cheap foreign goods. And I'll show you some pictures of our community, but what's really alarming is the fact that these goods are expected to triple by 2020. And just to give you one snapshot of that, if you look at just truck trips, by 2020 we expect that to be up to 92,000 truck trips as opposed to 2010 levels of 50,000. And when I show you some pictures of what we're dealing with currently, just keep that in mind. So I'm going to highlight a local case study of the rail yard that Andrea mentioned in West Long Beach, just to give you a sense of what we're grappling with. So this is a Google Maps picture of West Long Beach, and I'll walk you through it. All of the stars represent local schools in the Long Beach Unified School District, and there are actually schools on the other side of those rail yards that are other districts, but I'm just specifically focusing on Long Beach. And the box that says UP is the existing Union Pacific Intermodal Container Transfer Facility, which is an intermodal rail yard that currently serves 750,000 containers a year, referred to as lifts a year. And they have on They currently have an application in to double their capacity to 1.5 million lifts a year. And then just south of that is the Burlington Northern Santa Fe box. And there's a question mark there because they have an application in, that rail company has an application in, to build a new intermodal facility which would serve between 1 million and 1.2 million lifts a year. Keeping in mind that each of those lifts represents one truck coming into these communities to carry that box to this rail yard to then build a train and send the trains out out of the region. And I also want to call your attention to the Terminal Island Freeway there, and in particular the schools that are in close proximity to the Terminal Island Freeway, where we have trucks coming up this Terminal Island Freeway to service this UP facility, but also would likely be coming up the Terminal Island Freeway to service this BNSF yard should were it built. So again, here's the numbers to get those in your mind. So here's a picture of the Terminal Island Freeway. This was actually taken in 2005, and you can see that trucks are queued to service that existing intermodal facility without the expansion and without the new rail yard in the mix. And here's another photo on another day. And another photo on another day. So this is obviously a chronic problem that this community is facing. Again, all of these trucks are using dirty diesel, and we know now what diesel does to children's health. And again, this is one of the schools that was in close proximity. It was directly behind the Terminal Island Freeway, where kids are playing. You can see is where the trucks are going by. And a daycare facility for homeless children in that same community. So what's interesting and I think really poignant about this this case study, as I'm sure you'll hear with the other case studies, is that I just put data up on a couple of the schools there, but a high percentage of the children that go to these schools, which is very typical with a lot of these industrial siting, are, you know, children that are identified as being socioeconomically disadvantaged. And I didn't actually put up all of the racial ethnic breakdown of all of these schools, but they're all over 80% and over children from different ethnic minority ethnic groups. So again, this is where the environmental justice piece of this comes into play. And when you look at there's been some maps that have been done that have come out of Cal State Long Beach to look at just disparities in the city of Long Beach. And if you look at this map, the percentage of youth in poverty, the darker colors represent more youth living in poverty. West Long Beach has a higher percentage of children living in poverty in their area. And this is sort of the camera two picture. If you then map out the percentage of people with a college education, the map switches. So East Long Beach is then West Long Beach again is where there are less educated folks. And so again, this is really where the environmental injustice comes into play. So what has our coalition been doing to work on this issue? Andrew's mentioned the Impact Project. That is one of the many collaborations that we work in. We're also part of the port Working Group of Green Los Angeles. But specifically, our coalition has looked to engage community members in a meaningful way in the policy policy solutions, specifically locally, that are happening in their neighborhood. And what we found is that, first and foremost, we need to do everything we can to decrease the barriers for community members to participate. So we provide monthly trainings in a local health and housing community meeting that we run. We, at every step of the way, be it if a community mom wants to come and testify at a hearing or participate in a training, we always provide childcare, transportation, and interpretation. We help community members to tell their stories. Some of the stories that we've just tended to work with women, always mothers of children with asthma, just helping them know what are the succinct ways to tell their story so that policymakers listen and we can actually see some real policy changes that come out of that, and develop linkages to what they see on the ground and their experiences to that which is actually coming out of the science and the research. So specifically, Andrea also mentioned the neighborhood assessment teams, or A teams. These were a group of mothers. We actually have had three teams come through who were trained in particulate matter monitoring and traffic counting and community assessment. And so they've identified local hotspots in their community where we've gone and done traffic counting and particulate matter monitoring. And they actually chose the area of West Long Beach largely because of what they were seeing here. So this is a photo of them doing P-TRAC monitoring. If you do actually stand outside in Hudson Park for longer than about an hour, your eyes start to water, so I always use that photo. And here's them doing traffic counting. So they generated data that's come out of their work specifically related to this rail yard, and on a number of different occasions have counted over 500 trucks passing on that Terminal Island Freeway in a one-hour time period. And then they've also done particulate matter monitoring near the rail yard and then in our control site, which is our office, which is about a mile away. And you can see there's higher levels of particulates, which, of course, is not an exact science, those of you who do exposure assessment research, but it is an educational tool for our community members. And then they've taken that data to share it with, in this case, this was a health risk assessment meeting that was for this specific rail yard, and we had one of our community members present the data in front of a very scary-looking board. I know she was really nervous to share that information. But they've also taken that to share with, we've done toxic tours in that community with funders, it's really elevated their confidence in being able to share their stories at press conferences related to other issues with other coalitions. And I think this is about helping community members, this photo really represents to me helping community members understand that what they're experiencing, the hardship of what they're experiencing in their own families can, if they can learn to tell that story and feel comfortable sharing that story, then that can really impact the lives and the well-being of other families. This was our coalition co-chair who had 5 children, 4 of whom have asthma, and she herself also has asthma. And again, sharing their stories with the media. This was an interview that the BBC did. And, you know, even going to industry conferences, Martha Cota was one of the only community members present in this industry conference sharing her story about what she experiences as an on-the-ground community member. And I think most importantly is really who's paying for the costs of the movement of goods. There was a great quote that came out of the California Air Resources Board's emission reduction plan stating that the Californians who live near ports, rail yards, and along high traffic corridors are subsidizing the goods movement sector with their health. And this is really what we're seeing with our community members is that the siting of these facilities are really at the expense of the community health. To try to end it on a little bit of a positive note, the California Air Resources Board also estimates that for every dollar that we invest in cleaning up pollution, we'll get an estimated $3 to $8 in health costs will be saved. And finally, I taught a class on air pollution in one of those local schools in West Long Beach and had the kids just draw pictures of their communities. And I think that kids really know more than we do we just don't give them the benefit of the doubt of what they really see and what they really know going on in their communities. I think this is particularly interesting because this child actually knew the name of the company, of the trucking company. And, you know, you can just see here the 710 freeway, the rail, factories, homes, and where his house is in close proximity to all of these industrial sites. So here's my contact information, and I'm sure all the other case studies will highlight some of the similar things we're dealing with. Thank you.